The Kings of Macedonia, an overview. Now, I've been putting this off for a while because I've done a lot on Macedonia as well as Alexander. I've done a complete series on Alexander. I've done a complete series on the Dodaci, the civil war over fighting over Alexander's kingdom afterwards. I've done a series on Pyrrhus of Epirus, who figures in here, and of course, the expansion of the Roman Empire and ultimately the conquest of Macedonia. So having done all of that other material, I have kind of put off going back to the originals, to seeing what was there. And my wife and I have been to Macedonia. We spent 3 days in Macedonia, staying in Thessaloniki, and saw the tombs, and saw the museums, and everything associated with the era. So I thought I might as well go ahead and finish off Macedonia by going back to the beginning. Normally when I do a podcast, I start with the beginning, and then I continue forward. Well, I did Alexander and his life and his conquest because I really liked Alexander. And then later on, I thought, well, it would be nice to do a series on the Dodaci and the civil war that's involved. So I did that as well. But I've left out the people at the beginning. And some of them are rather interesting, and some of them are just strictly legendary. First of all, let me explain what we have as far as dynasties. Now, the Argead dynasty runs from 650 BCE to 310 BCE. Now, that's split into two parts. First part is the legendary. And so this is the tradition of people that you had before that. And then you have the historical. And the historical part then begins with a king known as Perdiccas the First. And then that continues down until we end up getting to our good friend Philip II. But that's quite a ways, because you have Perdiccas the First in 650 BCE, and you have Philip II at 360 to 359 BCE. So it's 300 years or more of people in between. And needless to say, until Philip II becomes king of Macedonia, there really isn't a lot going on in a national sense. They're considered by various people to be just hill tribesmen. But Philip is going to be the one who makes it. So I'll be going through a lot of his material, because one of the things that has happened over the years is, and you'll see this when you hear the sources, we have lots of the old primary sources, Herodotus and Theodorus Siculus and others. And everybody wants to deal with Alexander, and they want to portray Philip in various ways, usually not positive. But recently, there's been a new book out, and it's Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors, and it's by Adrian Goldsworthy. And Adrian Goldsworthy, in my opinion, is one of the best ancient historians that we have today. He usually just writes on Rome, but it's really nice to see him get to this period, which could use a lot of checking. And it may end up redoing Alexander completely, but as of right now, that's a project that's going to sit back on the wayside. But we will get a great deal of information on Philip II. So after you have the death of Alexander IV, that ends what is known as the historical Argead dynasty. Then we have the Antipatrid dynasty, and that runs from 310 to 294 BCE, and that's where you have some of the people that were involved in the Dodaci: Cassander, Philip IV, Antipater I, and Alexander V. After that, we have what is known as the dynastic conflicts. That's 294 BCE to 272 BCE, and that's Demetrius, our good friend Pyrrhus of Epirus, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, Meleager, all of those people involved in that, Antigonus II. And then you have the Antigonid dynasty, which runs from 272 to 168 BCE, which Antigonus II, and then you have the non-dynastic rebel kings that come about in 150 BCE to 93 BCE, which of course that's when the Romans will come in. So that is the business that we're going to be looking at, but we're really going through the legendary and the historical up to the death of Philip II. Now the legendary, there are two his separate historical foundations for Macedonia and this Argead dynasty. They're both mentioned by Herodotus and Thucydides in the 5th century BCE. They record Perdiccas as the first king of Macedonia. The later tradition first emerged around the beginning of the 4th century BCE and claimed that a man named Kuranos, rather than Perdiccas, was the founder. Now, aside from a man named Statiris, who adds Conius and Termere to the list, Marius Apella, Theo Pompeius, and Justin all agree that Kuranos was Perdiccas' father. Furthermore, Plutarch claimed in his biography of Alexander the Great that all of his sources agreed that Kuranos was the founder. This unhistorical assertion, like the agreed connection, is rejected by modern scholarship as court propaganda, probably intended to diminish the significance of the name of Perdiccas in a rival family branch. Now, let's look at a couple of things here in this particular ancient section. Now, long before Philip or Alexander were in Macedonia, the kingdom in northern Greece was ruled by what is known as the Argead dynasty. The nature of the family is important, for their sole right to become king was never challenged by the aristocracy. One justification for this was that the Argeads claimed to be a distinct, originally outsiders to the region, descendants of a nobleman exiled from the city of Argos in southern Greek Peloponnesus, who in the 7th century BCE took his family and household north and conquered a new kingdom. As aristocrats of Argos, they claimed Hercules, the demigod and son of Zeus, as the founder of their line, often worshipping him as Heracles Patroios, ancestor or father. Such stories were common in the ancient world. The Romans famously boasted that their city was founded by Romulus, son of Mars and descendant of Aeneas, himself son of Venus, who had led a party of Trojans after the sack of their city and eventually settled in Italy. By the 1st century BCE, the Aeodae, a large tribe living in Gaul, claimed to be offsprings of other refugees from Troy, making them brothers of the Romans and soothing the alliance between the tribe and the Roman Republic. Ancient communities were fond of these kind of stories, happily inventing them when convenient, making it hard to know whether any of these tales contained the slightest bit of truth. Perhaps the Argives were originally from elsewhere. A chief and his band of warriors forced to leave their homeland or migrate, seeking new opportunities. But it's impossible to know. For whatever reasons, only an Argead could be king of Macedonia, a rule that was never broken until the final extinction of the line with the murder of Alexander IV, who was the son of Alexander the Great, in 310 BCE. Something in the Argead bloodline was seen as special and sacred, for the king had an important role as somehow more closely connected to the gods. Tradition claimed that one of Philip's ancestors, newly became king on the death of his father, was carried as a babe in arms to join the Macedonian army as it faced the Illyrians, turning defeat into victory. More routinely, an adult king led the army on any important occasion and presided over major festivals, while each royal day began with the king personally cutting the throat of the sacrificial animals. The Argead were special, alone in possessing the right to rule, but they had failed to grant Macedonia any great stability, since any male Argead could be king if enough people supported him, or at least were willing to accept him. As far as we can tell, there were no fixed rule as to who should succeed when the king died. If his oldest son was an adult, then there would probably need to be a good reason not to choose him, but this was certainly possible. Brothers might be preferred or members of another line of a wider clan, although a gathering of adult males representing the people in arms, or at least the most significant among them, acclaimed the new king by clashing weapons against shields. There is no sense of an election where royal candidates were chosen. There were sometimes plenty of other options available, for the Argeads bred prolifically, helped by a tradition of polygamy. They also tended to be long-lived, at least if they didn't come into some violent end. The sources for this, from the classics, Aristotle's The Politics, Herodotus, The Histories, Diodorus Siculus, The Histories, 12 volumes, Thucydides, The Peloponnesian War, and Plutarch's Lives. And we have Goldsworthy's Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors, Hammond, The History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2, Borza in the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.